That's Skeeter Davis. She died in 2004, breast cancer. She was just a great performer. She was the first successful female country crossover artist finding success swinging these different kinds of songs. Just an amazing talent as well. We're going to come back in a moment with William Henry and take questions about all the mystical things that he has investigated. So get ready to make the call next on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, welcome back. William Henry with us. William, tell us a little bit more about your website, because it is one of the most looked at websites out there.
Oh, well, thank you, George. The website is williamhenry.net. You'll find lots of recent articles that I've put up on everything from the Mars shot to transhumanism. I've got a new article on about the transhumanist commercials that are out that Apple has put out for the holidays, and also GE, where they're actually preparing us, trying to desensitize us to their scary ideas, as they reef them, of humans becoming machines. The Silicon Valley knows that people aren't going to accept this idea, so they've got to find to soften it so that you'll accept it. And we're doing that is through these commercials. So if you can take a look at my analysis of those, please do so. And you also can find information about our upcoming trip to Egypt, and we'll have one coming up soon, going to Italy in the fall of 2017. And just one more thing, you might want to take a look at a great gift idea, stocking stuffer. I've got a video package of all my latest presentations that have been recorded in the past 4 or 5 months of lectures and webinars on the lost art and science of ascension. It's a really great package, and love for you to take advantage of that.
Super. And William, I'm going to have Tom call you right back. I'm hearing a little kind of staccato sound in your voice on the phone, okay? So why don't you hang up? He's going to call you right back. William Henry, we will get you right back on the show. And, of course, all of you calling will get to you as well. Yeah, you may have heard it. It was just a little which drives me crazy. So we'll just get a new connection. That's one thing about these landlines these days. They're not like they used to be in the old days. I mean, in the old days, I got to tell you, the phones were amazing. But nowadays, they're all staccato. William, you're back with us. Let's test you out. Hello there, Mr. Henry.
Does that sound better?
I think it does. For now, we'll talk a little longer, and we'll find out how it goes. But you were telling us about some of the things you've got planned on your website. And why don't you tell us briefly again what they are?
Yeah, so I've got information about my tours to Egypt, and we'll be announcing one for Italy in the fall here soon. I've got recent articles that I've posted on the Mars shot, as well as another great article that people are going about the commercials that Apple and GE are running for the holidays to introduce their scary technology, as they call it. They realize, Apple and GE and the other Silicon Valley companies realize, that people are going to readily accept or adopt this idea of packing our flesh with technology. So they're bringing commercials that are designed to desensitize us, and they've got a couple holiday commercials that are helping them to do that.
Okay, let me interrupt you one more time. The phone is bad, so Tom's going to call you right back again. I'm going to hang up, and he may very well call you on your cell phone. So let's see what that transpires there. Meanwhile, those of you who are calling, just keep calling. We will get them on. But these are the ups and downs of technology these days, folks. Sometimes they work, and sometimes they don't. His interview was going along splendidly last hour. This hour, he seems to be running out of juice in his phone or something. So we got you back again, William. Two times a charm, I hope.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you, George.
Yeah. So, the other, were you on a cordless phone, the other one?
No, I'm on my base phone, which is plugged into the wall, and it's always worked just fine. So I apologize for that.
But is it a battery-operated phone?
No, it's plugged into the wall, and it's got a power.
Well, it was fine the first hour, but you started breaking up like crazy. So, but this one sounds fine. So I assume we got you on your cell phone now, right?
Yes.
Okay. All right. That's all you got to do is make it through this hour, and we've done it.
Okay, no problem.
And we've done it as well. This person named Jesus, I've been watching. Have you seen the show on cable called Risen?
No, I have not.
You've got to watch it. It's about a Roman centurion who was a witness to the crucifixion, wasn't a good guy at all. And all of a sudden, he changes because he sees Christ after the resurrection. And
right.
It's a great movie, and it's a lot about everything we've talked about. But when you talk about reality, what do you think happened 2,000 years ago when this person is crucified, tied up to a cross, nailed to a cross, speared in the side, clearly dead, and all of a sudden they claim that he's resurrected? How in the world can that happen?
Well, this is the Essene Ascension technology that I've been researching and studying for the past 20 or more years, and very intensively the past 4 or 5 years from the academic perspective. The Essenes are absolutely crystal clear in the Dead Sea Scrolls that they were living with celestial beings, angels, extraterrestrials, who were taking them through the paces, through close encounters of the first, second, third, and fourth kind, where they're seeing extraterrestrial beings, interacting with them, and then ultimately climbing the ladder all the way up to a close encounter of the ninth kind, which is a human transformation into a celestial being. And the scroll scholars know that Jesus is the benefactor of those Essene teachings and their interactions with these celestial beings, with the same seraphim angels that we were talking about earlier. And when we're talking about the resurrection, you have to always remember that all four gospel accounts tell us that there were angels present in the tomb, or the resurrection chamber, if you will, where Jesus resurrected. So there's no question that these celestial beings were participants in this process. And what we see is the ultimate evidence of this event is, of course, the Shroud of Turin, which now many scientists believe is actually was produced by an energetic event, a burst of light coming from within the body of Jesus that left the markings on the shroud. And the shroud then becomes actually not a relic, it becomes a living testimony to this event. But the message of the Essenes was that all of us have the capability of following Jesus in this path of transformation from a human into a celestial being.
To the phones now we go. You folks have waited long enough. Thomas in La Jolla, California. Hey, Tom, happy holidays to you.
Happy holidays. And George, thank you. We have Christmas and Hanukkah and 2017 around the corner.
Well, yes,
and
we do.
I want to thank you for the gift of Coast to Coast.
You are very welcome.
Everybody. William Henry, there appears to be three ways to get to the stars. And one way to get to the stars is nuts and bolts hardware, actual craft, flying saucers, flying triangles. And the second way to get to the stars appears to be transhumanism and technology and things like technological stargates. I'm intrigued by the fact that you talk about the ascension, which is the third way, and maybe the royal way to get to the stars, the idea of transforming one's own body into a body of light, into a seraphic body, if you will. And I'm curious if the Essene teachings, are they a matter of teaching you new techniques, or are they a matter of dehypnotizing, actually breaking the trance that we are limited men, limited women on this planet, but breaking the trance and awaking to our body of light, our seraphic body, as you call it?
I think that's a beautiful way of putting it, that the Essenes believed that we all are still originally divine beings, and that we were, in the model of Adam and Eve, originally light beings. and that our light being status has been covered over by negative emotions, erroneous perceptions, the trance, the hypnotism that you're describing. Our culture tells us that we are solid beings, that we are flesh and blood beings of limited capability. But our spiritual tradition and now our physics tells us that that is not true. That is all an illusion. And once we learn to overcome that illusion, we unbind ourselves from all the limitations of earth life, and then now we start to tap into what I call our ascension intelligence. We start to think like the angels. We start to adapt or activate, if you will, all the natural capabilities that our soul possesses, and we can do all these wondrous things that the so-called angels can do. We can manipulate matter. We can manipulate time. We can travel through the cosmos. And I love it the way you put that, that we're entranced by these ideas that we can't do these things and that the only way to do them is in some kind of Boeing rocket that's going to take us to Mars or whatever. All of that is part of the illusion. It's part of the trance that human ingenuity can take us into the stars. That NASA's mythology is based on that idea. When in fact, what we really need to tap into is our original selves, our ascension intelligence, and become like the angels.
There is a battle brewing, William, between the power elitists and people who do not want to be controlled. We sense it. We feel it every day. How bad do you think it could get?
Well, trillions of dollars are at stake. You know, when people start pushing back on Facebook and start saying, they're getting a little too out of control, a little too manipulative, a little too invasive, and I don't like their politics, then Facebook has two choices. They're either going to continue to do that, double down on it, or they're going to back off. I see Silicon Valley doubling down. I mean, this meeting that all these tech giants had with President-elect Trump today starts to signal that Silicon Valley was shown the door during the 2016 presidential election. The people voted not just against a Democratic candidate, they voted against a policy that says we're gonna invade your life with this technology and start to think for you and tell you what you can do. And people are rapidly becoming aware that that is not the choice that they want to make. Now, that's not to say that the president-elect won't go along with that program somehow, but for the moment, people are starting to push back against the sultans of Silicon Valley and saying enough is enough, and we want to see more of a technology that stays outside of our body, hands off the human body, and let's slow down this artificial intelligence, this creeping and creepy artificial intelligence that is trying to take over our lives.
What do you think is fueling this? Do you think it's social media? What's doing it to get people so, uprised?
In my opinion, George, I think it's an unconscious soul level reaction. They know the heat is being turned up on us, technologically speaking, and it every day when you're on social media, you're recognizing the absolute intelligence of these social networks, of in particular Facebook, with their ads and the way they do things, and it's a sense like we're in a trap. And people don't like that feeling. They want to use the technology for advancement, for accelerating learning, for business, and so forth. But at some point, a line is crossed, and people are sensing we have already crossed that line. And we want to go back to the old world, if you will.
Let's go to Chad in San Diego. You're up with William Henry. Chad, go ahead.
Hi, George. Hi. Long-time listener, long-time fan.
Thank you.
Apologies, I'm a little nervous.
Ah, yeah, you're fine.
You.
Just us, Chad, just us.
Yes, but I just want to ask, you know, I've been listening to many topics that you've had for years, all through the quantum field, to the spiritual field, to the scientific field, and I was raised, you know, in a Christian school, and I've had the basis of the Bible. And so it's very fascinating and also interesting to hear the cross-referencing about Jesus a lot and the idea beyond that with UFOs and aliens and beings that are beyond this dimension. And for me, as a young man, I'm only 28, you know, trying to put all the pieces together, hearing these people, I really try to put all of it together and still keep an open mind of questioning what is true. And is this just the apple, so to speak, if you know the Bible reference of, you know, knowledge, you know, is knowing too much the thing that is bad? And I really question that. Or is that the thing that we all are really striving to become and understand as humans to move into the next realm? You know, it's just a big question that I've always tried to piece together. And I'm curious to know with your guest, you know, like with the sighting that happened on the moon on a couple days ago, is that a microbe of aliens? Does it all have this, you know, correlation and connection with Trump? And this, I mean, there's so many variables of like the rabbit hole that I really try to question, but also keep sane and keep, you know, a stable ground. There's so many avenues of what if that it's important to not let yourself get away with the mind, but really just try to, I want to hear an idea of maybe where it's all coming from. And, you know, George, I really appreciate what you've been doing all these years, and I hope that it continues. And I just want to give you my gratitude.
Great. Thank you, Chad. It will continue for a long, long time. William, do you want to react to some of the things you pointed out?
Yeah, thank you, Chad. And what I'm kind of hearing is you're sort of like where I've been, where a lot of people find themselves. You're kind of that ship out on the sea, and you're looking for your North Star. You're researching all of these areas, from everything from angels to extraterrestrials to physics and so forth. And if I could have you put something on your refrigerator door, I'd point you to the Pista Sophia, where in answer to a question posed by Mary Magdalene, Jesus said to seek ye first the secrets of transforming yourself into a being of pure light so that you can go on height and inherit the light of my kingdom. To me, that's my North Star. As long as I am looking, seeking the secrets of transforming myself into a being of pure light and pure love, I know that ultimately I will make my way back to the source, back to the stars, to our original celestial home. So perhaps that will give you a sense of direction or a glimmer from my North Star anyway in a direction to head in.
William, you are one of the best, and you are, of course, called an investigative mythologist in the minute we've got before the break. What exactly is that?
Well, it's like being an investigative journalist, only I investigate myths and sacred traditions. I'm looking for what is the kernel of truth. Can we back up some of these ancient stories with science today, and how can we apply those stories in our daily lives?
Well, and you do a great job. And again, give your website out and where people can find your works.
My website is williamhenry.net. And I hope you'll visit the site and take advantage of some of my special offers, including my latest Ascending Soul package of my latest videos and presentations.
All right, we're going to come back in a moment with William Henry and take some final phone calls here as we talk about all the things that he has worked on. So those of you on hold, just hang there. We'll get to you as quickly as we can when we come back right here on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, welcome back with William Henry, of course, as we take your final calls here, as we talk about all these incredible things. William, if you could fix one thing on this planet, what would that be?
Well, it would have to be human consciousness, from a consciousness tuned to loss and fear to one of love and victory. I mean, it's such an amazing opportunity to have a human body as a soul, to come from somewhere else in the cosmos, who knows where, maybe other nearby star systems, to incarnate on this planet for a very brief period of time. And if I could help people to wake up to that reality of their eternal self, and that they're having this temporary experience, and we might as well enjoy it while we're here. We're kind of, sometimes we feel like we're the bird in the cat's mouth, but we might as well enjoy the ride if we can, right?
You got that right. Let's go to Walter in Pennsylvania. Hi, Walt. Go ahead.
Hi, George.
Hey there.
It Season's greetings to you and all the fine people associated with your broadcast.
Thank you, Walton. You too and your family.
Well, yeah, George, the book of Isaiah says that seraphic angels have no fewer than six wings. So anybody familiar with the laws of aerodynamics would have to ask themselves, how in the world does a being with six wings possibly make it off the ground?
That's an interesting question. And I never even thought they really had wings at all, William. But they do, huh?
Yeah, well, that's the description, that they do have six wings. But if we think of those wings as six points, then this corresponds with what the Jewish mystics called the Merkabah star, or the Merkabah throne chariot. So it could be that they're winged beings, but it could also be a reference to the celestial chariot or throne that they use to travel the cosmos in, which is a consciousness vehicle.
We take text questions, of course, and tweets, and we've got one for you before our segment ends here with Tom back in the L.A. studios. What do we have, Tom?
Hey, William, how you doing? We have a text from Marianne in Seattle, and she says, in regards to artificial intelligence, please ask William what he thinks is the main reason that people fear artificial intelligence, and can he name what he thinks is one of the best benefits of AI?
Oh, that's a great question, and thank you for that text. The greatest fear that people have of AI is they don't understand it. It's a technology that's way beyond the comprehension of the ordinary person. We all know how to work a cell phone, but we don't know how a cell phone works, for example. And so the great fear is ultimately loss of control. And with that comes this understanding that they're talking about being able to implant memories and literally to control our thinking. The great benefit of AI is an acceleration of knowledge and understanding, to be able to use computers to solve problems that are presently beyond our human capability. But then the problem with that is that, of course, is that, as many movies have alluded to and others have discussed, is that these machines, as the artificial intelligence becomes more and more conscious, that perhaps it recognizes that humanity is redundant and we're no longer needed.
William, you do an amazing job out there. There aren't a lot of people who do what you do out there, are there?
No, not really. I'm kind of out of the box. I've learned that more and more recently. I had someone try to call to interested in booking me on a cruise, and they said, you're a tough one because you're not, you know, you get Graham Hancock, Robert Bavall. You know exactly they stand for archaeology and so forth, and you can get Nassim Harriman, and he's all about physics. But you're across the board. You're out of the box. You're hard to pin down. And I said, well, I kind of like that, actually. I mean, that's just kind of who I am, and I think you have to really be out of the box these days in order to maximize your understanding of what's going on.
All right, let's take final calls. Jay in Florida, welcome to the show. Jay, go ahead.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. Okay, so first of all, I want people to be aware in the hidden occult witch's language, love, sun, moon, light, Raymond, rain, diamond, Lucy, and goat are all Lucifer, Satan, devil, antichrist. So when you, people sometimes use light and love, remember that, and Lucifer is the bringer of light. I believe he was mentioning Sophia earlier. Sophia is the pagan god of goddess of wisdom, and that is actually where we get sophistication. And they talk about how Paul met with sophisticated philosophy, I believe it was. I want people to be aware that Lucifer is head of the Galactic Federation of Light. There's that word again. The Bible teaches us there are three heavens. So he has his own false heavens and where some of the other fallen angels are. He has his own Akashic records and archangels, especially Michael. This is the one who's been putting videos and messages on YouTube that I was deceived by for a while. And overall, when we are dealing with this new age, Jesus, Christ consciousness, Kundalini, meditation, yoga, all of this is part of the vast satanic New Age deception. It has to do with the false prophet, the white Jesus Christ, Sananda, who is not the real Christ, and spiritualism, the occult, all of that. And that what I'm very worried about is I'm seeing more people, including websites, videos, ministries, ministers, whatever they are, actually saying that the RFID, which stands for Radio Frequency Identification,
all right. As a matter of fact,
now known as the NFC, which is Near Field Communication Chip, that this is not the mark of the beast. Now, I want everyone to get an authorized King James Version of the Bible, and as it says, it clearly states, in your right hand or in your forehead. There have been other translations that have changed it. That's why you have these KJV advocates, and there's such truth to that. And
all right, let's get William's take on some of this, Jay, before the clock gets us. Jay, what about these chips, William?
Yeah, I mean, clearly we are talking mark of the beast type of technology. There's no doubt about it. And that's part of the danger here is that we are in this season of prophecy fulfillment, if you will, in a lot of people's minds. And remember, the core of this season, if you will, is about the transformation of humanity in the twinkling of an eye. That's how Paul described it in Corinthians, that we will be suddenly changed, that we will be like Christ in his resurrected form. That's what the Bible says. So in my opinion, you know, part of what that caller was describing was his sort of politics of exclusion, where he's drawing the lines, labeling things that are maybe misunderstood by him or a lot of people. But really what we want to focus on is truly what is within us and the capability we all have to be beings of light and love. And if he wants to call that Luciferian, he certainly is. It's his prerogative to do so. But I think there's enough fundamental teachings to tell us that that is, if we can aim high in that direction, that we're going to be okay. And in fact, to me, this is, I call it tapping our ascension intelligence is the answer to artificial intelligence. Because as we begin to think like these angels and celestial beings, we'll realize that we have all the natural capabilities within us, and we won't need this technology that we're so reliant upon now. The technology is meant to be training wheels. It's not to be meant to be our ultimate vehicle to take us from where we are now to where we want to go.
All right, Wayne in Tacoma, Washington, it's your turn, Wayne. Thank you for calling.
Good evening or good morning, Sir George.
Hi there.
Mr. Henry. I hear you talking about a lot of what the last gentleman just talked about, the New World Order, New Age type religion things, and I hear a lot of this coming from, unfortunately, ministers that were good ministers in this country that taught the Bible, that taught the gospel, and they're not now teaching Chrislamism, and they think that we can get along with Muslims teaching Chrislamism. I don't know if you've heard much about this or not. One of what George asked you earlier kind of changed the total thought of what we should be talking about, I think. And what would you do if you could have your way? And you said love, joy, and peace. Well, the only way people can get this love, joy, and peace is through understanding God. And God is not in us. He's outside of us. But we can have him in us if we trust alone in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And I know George was taught this in his catechism as well as I was in my catechisms. And it's not just the Catholic, Roman Catholic faith that teaches this. And his ultimate name in the Bible is Emmanuel, God with us. And that's who Jesus Christ was. The Bible says that Jesus Christ spoke everything into existence. And it's to him that we belong all praise and honor and glory.
Well, all right. Thanks for that. And William, your comments?
Well, you know, he's touching on a very important subject in our world right now, this collision between Judeo-Christianity and Islam. And that would be, he asked, what would be my message? And as I talked about this in the Judgment Day device, that you have especially the Shia Muslims believe in their imminent arrival of the Islamic Messiah, the Mahdi, who will have as his assistant, according to the Quran, the same Jesus Christ that this gentleman just referred to. So the Islamic belief is that their Messiah is greater than the Christian Christ, or ultimately the Jewish Messiah. And no matter how you think about all of that, according to all of these prophecies, this figure will be the one who will recover the true and complete Ark of the Covenant. And my message to the Shia Muslims, ISIS, Israel, all these other folks that are presently seeking this device on behalf of their respective beliefs, is that the only way that we're going to get that is by working with the angels who have the Ark of the Covenant, and by developing our spiritual consciousness, which means a love-based consciousness. And I think that the only way our world is going to go forward is when we stop drawing all these lines between people and putting up all these divisions that may or may not be real. And once we get over this hurdle, then we start to adapt our true humanity and become the true cosmic beings that we know we can become.
Okay, let's take a few more calls here in the time remaining. We've got Laura in Cincinnati. Hi, Laura. Good morning to you.
Hi. I have a quick question.
Sure.
You know, with finding Mary Magdalene's home, the codices, the tomb, and I do remember a part in the Bible where Jesus said that secrets would be revealed in the end. Do you think that has any kind of
connotation?
I do, Laura. I mean, that's why I'm keeping a keen eye on these recent movements in Jerusalem, because both Christian prophecy as well as Jewish legend about the so-called end time, or the time of the appearance of the Messiah, refer to a collection of various items that have to be recovered and things that have to be put back together, including what we've been discussing here in part tonight, the Ark of the Covenant, the Rod of Aaron. Other tools and implements are recovered and assembled. And it gets me excited when I see Nat Geo going into the Church of the Holy Sepulchre or the Church of the Resurrection, for example, and we see other evidence starting to come together. It seems to me that what we're doing is putting together the pieces of this kit, if you will, that these prophecies describe must be assembled before this event can happen.
We have Carter now in Corpus Christi, Texas. Hi, Carter. Thanks for calling.
Good.
Go ahead.
Good morning, gentlemen. Thank you very much for this topic. It's something that's been very interesting to me. I read a four-book series a while back.
And Carter, get as close to your phone as you can for me.
How's that? Is that better?
Okay, good.
I read a four-book series based on transhumanism and AI a while back. I've been extremely interested in it ever since then. Done a lot of research. Basically, primary question is based on Mr. Henry. Based on Moore's law, do you believe that we will actually have hard or soft AI that is significant in our lifetime? And do you think there will ever actually be a way, if there is a hard AI, to be able to have certain parameters that cannot break or control, so we don't open the proverbial Pandora's box? And just as a quick follow-up, I think most people, when you talk about transhumanism, that, you know, they're picturing the cyborg and things like that from Star Trek, when I believe, honestly, it's going to be more on a nano level. And, you know, someone could have the 50%, 50-50, but due to nanotechnology, you'll never be able to tell actually by looking at them. Let's hear your thoughts. Thank you very much.
Yeah, he makes a good point that, when you think of transhumanism, you're thinking of Arnold Schwarzenegger as a robot, that kind of thing. But he's right. Google and many of the other major players in Silicon Valley are working on these technologies at the nano level, where it will be in the air. This technology will be invisible. All 10 orifices of the human body are fair game right now to Silicon Valley, and they're looking for the way in. And so he's absolutely right that it's going to be more of a transformation from the inside out. Although that said, you've got Google, Samsung, Apple working on the ocular implants or the retinal implants. You'll basically, in 5 years, go to Best Buy. They'll remove the lens of your eye. They'll pour a liquid into your eye.
Oh, my gosh.
Filled with electronics, a battery, a radio, and now you'll be online.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah, that's what they're working on right now. They've all got patents in this direction. So they'll give you night vision. They'll give you X-ray vision. They'll give you supervision. But the problem, as I say, is that with this supervision comes supervision. This is where the control and the manipulation comes in.
They might be able to see through you, right?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And then when Google comes out with their magic eye, they've got a company called Magic Leap, rather, that is already valued at over $4.5 billion. They haven't even released the product yet,
Jeez.
But it's an augmented reality where with this ocular implant, they will be able to superimpose any image they want over our 3D reality so that you and I, George, could be sitting in a room together watching a whale jump out of the middle of the floor or have Mount Everest sitting right in front of us. They tell us that we won't have screens any longer. This is all going to be done from projection within our own eye.
It's going way too fast. William, have a great Christmas. You and Claire, give her our best. Keep
you,
in touch.
So
be
much.
Safe going to Egypt, too, okay?
Thank you. Thank you, everybody, for listening, and Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to you.
William Henry's website, of course, is linked up at coasttocoastam.com, williamhenry.net. And he's got some great DVDs as well, and his books are just fantastic. He just does a marvelous job. We've got another great program for you in store tomorrow. Catherine Albrecht for the first couple hours talking about some privacy issues, and then a traveler's guide to the afterlife. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Latasseur, Stephanie Smith, Chris Borelson, George Knapp, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.